Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
If you watched the spring game on SEC Network this past weekend, you know that Richard Cross and Cole Kublik were on the call for that one. And, well, quite frankly, nobody wants to talk to Richard Cross. So let's talk to Cole Kublik, SEC Network, Mac and Cube in the morning. The man does everything. Last year, you took some heat from Mississippi State fans for your prognosis of the football team. You ended up ultimately being 100% correct. I watched the Cube show yesterday, and by the way, if you're a college football fan, I highly suggest you watch and subscribe to Cole's podcast, The Cube Show. You can find it on YouTube. You seem to think that this is an easier transition for Mississippi State than a year ago, going from the air raid to the system that Kevin Barbe wanted to run. Why? Why is this transition easier?
I just think the level of difficulty of what a lot of positions are going to be asked isn't as great. It's not going to be as foreign for a lot of the guys. There's not a staple play that or formation or, I guess, procedure of parts of the offense that are going to be as difficult. And two, I think you look at the guys that you've brought in, you bring in Blake Shapen. I mean, he's been in the pistol. He's been in the shotgun. He's run, you know, similar portions of this offense. He's run RPO. He's run zone read. Like he has experience doing those things. Same thing with a lot of the offensive linemen that they brought in. So even though I still think the continuity and the chemistry aspect of it, there's always a difficulty with it there for guys who haven't played football together. What they're going to be asked to do and the level of difficulty that come with it are just not going to be as great as where they were before to what they were going to last year.
This offense, you know, I guess the colloquial term is the veer and shoot. Heupel runs it. Ole Miss runs kind of a variation of it. It goes back to Art Briles at Baylor. It seems to have become the new big thing in college football. This is the offense that people are interested in, that people want to try to incorporate into whatever they're doing offensively. What makes this offense so successful?
I think it takes, Brian, multiple things that sort of even the playing field. And that's all of these offenses that have been unique and very different, and maybe some people would say foreign. The main thing that you're looking for is how do we level the playing field? How do we go up against Alabama or Ohio State or Texas or USC when they had their runs, or Miami when they had their runs? And how are we competitive when we know they're going to have bigger, faster, stronger players? And this offense takes multiple facets of that and puts them together. One, creating space, finding grass. So your receiver splits are going to be massive, and it's going to force the defense into a conflict. Another way you force the defense into a conflict, RPO. So that's another newer portion of an offense that came in the last 10 years that's going to force you to defend it a certain way. And basically, you have to make a decision of what you want to try to defend. Same thing, zone read. Quarterback can keep the ball at times. That's going to be another piece of the offense, depending on how much you have at your backup quarterback spot that you can utilize and that you can run. And then, of course, tempo, you know, going back to some of the hurry up, no huddle offenses via Chip Kelly, Oregon, whatever that was. You take all of those, you put them together. And then I think what's different here is there is still an emphasis of running the football in a downhill nature. And they are going to take shots down the field. They're going to challenge you down the field. And let's be real, with where today's college football, really football in general, has gone, you ought to be taking some shots down the field every game, because there's a better chance that that is going to be a net positive for you than it's going to be for your opponent. So I think you put all those things together and you become very difficult to defend, because you force defenses to make decisions of, are you going to stay at home on the backside to protect quarterback run? Is your linebacker or your safety or your alley defender, is he going to play pass or run? And you have the option to give it or pull it and throw it. Are you going to try to substitute because we're going to go fast? Are you going to keep your safeties at bay and not play the run because we're going to throw the ball down the field? So all of that inherently can give you advantages just based on alignment and based on assignment. And it's an offense that knows how to take advantage of those things.
If he can stay healthy, and that has been the thing that with Blake Shapen that everybody says, like, if he can stay healthy, what's the ceiling on this guy? Because I'm not as you know, tuned in as you are, but I liked what I saw on Saturday. I thought the deep ball was there. He showed some escapability in the pocket. He just looked confident in the offense. How good can he be for State in this year?
Yeah, I think that last thing that you said, I laugh at people a lot of times, Brian, that, oh, you can't take anything from a spring game. There's nothing can be learned from a spring game. I just wholeheartedly disagree with that. Now, collectively, that's probably accurate. I don't think you can judge a team by what you see in a spring game. So you're not going to leave watching a spring game or calling a spring game or being at a spring game and saying, you know what? That team was a 6-6 ball club, but I got them at 9 wins now, by God, because of what I saw and how they looked. That's not real, but you can take specific details of parts of a team, and I think it can go a long way in formulating your opinion. With Blake Chapin, I mean, he has all of those abilities that you just mentioned. He has underrated mobility. I think a good way of looking at that would kind of be Peyton Thorne at Auburn late last year. Nobody talked about his ability to move. Nobody talked about his ability to run. Nobody talked about what he could do outside the pocket. But when Auburn needed him to pull the football last year and break a defense down because they weren't respecting it or because they read it wrong, he could go get you 20 yards or 8 yards or 16 yards, which all are very painful to any defense, especially in critical moments of a game. So I think Blake Chapin showed you he has that kind of mobility. We already kind of knew that, but he showed you that he had it. You mentioned accuracy down the field, being on the same page with some of the receivers. But my biggest takeaway for him was the operation of the offense and the comfort level in it. What are the things that he's going to be asked to do on a regular basis? Quarterback, running back, mesh. That's going to be something that happens 80% of the time. So that's either handing it to the back or keeping it and running it or pulling it out of the belly of the back and throwing the football. He looked very comfortable in those moments. He looked very comfortable on some of the timing throws. There was one maybe on a back shoulder on a slant here and there, but all in all, he was pretty accurate and the ball got out on time. Now, people don't like this because it's not cool and it's not exciting, but go watch him take checkdowns. And if you want to move the ball consistently and you want to be an efficient offense, your quarterback's going to have to take checkdowns. And the other thing he's going to have to do is throw the ball away. And there were two or three moments in that way when Blake Chapin had immediate pressure and he just looked out of bounds and threw the ball in the stands. And if you want a direct correlation to that, watch how Chris Parson handled pressure. It was panic. It was run around. It was try to elude instead of being decisive. Okay, dump it down to back or take two steps, throw ball away. Now, he may have a little bit more mobility and feels like he can keep a play alive. That's fine. But that doesn't often keep drives alive unless you have elite mobility. So those were the things that I took away from Blake Chapin in the spring game that gave me some confidence that this offense could be better than people think.
You talked about on your podcast, you talked about the running back position and you know, not really a game breaker there for Mississippi State. They're after a couple of guys that could possibly fill that role. Rashad Amos is committed to Mississippi State, but apparently that's still sort of up in the air. They're trying to pull in Damian Martinez from Oregon State, but it looks like Miami is going to be a tough team to beat on that one. If State doesn't get a difference maker at running back, you know, what does this offense look like in year one for Jeff Lebby?
I don't think it makes it or breaks it. And you know, just because, and I'll go to last year, look at Dylan Gabriel, you know, they want to run that position at times. You could go back to when Jared Stidham was at Baylor and watch him pull the ball and keep it a few times. Like, they're not asking him to be Cam Newton. They're not asking him to be Lamar Jackson. But by God, if we can steal 7 or 8 yards 3 or 4 times a game, we got to take that. And I think there was an inherent fear of running Dylan Gabriel last year. There were a lot of instances in which he could have picked up more yards. He had more yards to gain. They would have liked to have called it. But they weren't going to risk it because they needed him throwing the football more. Backup quarterback will be big from that perspective because you'll be able to use your quarterback to do some of those things. But I think what it does is just subtract your explosive plays from that position. And that doesn't mean that it kills the offense. It just – there may be a few drives, you know, they're a little bit more lengthy. There may be, you know, more first downs than touchdowns, and that's okay. And I don't think the backs are by any stretch of the imagination a liability. It's just they don't have that game breaker or that guy that's super explosive that could give you multiple 50, 60, 80-yard touchdown runs in a game. Tennessee kind of had that last year. You see what that offense looks like when you have that type of a back. So I don't think it like gets this offense stuck in the mud or anything like that. It's just that you'll be less dynamic from that position. But it's also not bad to be able to grind out yards in this offense from that position, because I think then it almost demands more respect. If you're hitting one out of four, you know, for 50 or 20 yards, as opposed to averaging 5.5, 7.5 per carry, you know, the only way to really slow that down is to add more bodies. You know, the other way to slow down some of your home run backs is to just kind of formulate things to where you can push the offense to not hand them the ball as much, and you'll take your chances other places. So I don't think it makes or breaks the offense. You'd love to have it. You'd love to have that game breaker. And I do think they at least have good options. It's just that none really stood out in the spring as sort of that home run threat consistently.
One thing we've talked about a lot on this podcast is Lebby's first year at Ole Miss with Kiffin, and how that team won five games. They played four. They won four SEC games, and then they won their bowl game. So all against Power Five competition. Defensively, they were the worst team in the country. I mean, and that's not even hyperbole. They just were. But offensively, they were good enough to win those games. They put up points on everybody. Can that be sort of a template for Mississippi State this year? Can they be a team that just wins games by outscoring people and finds enough wins to get into a bowl game?
A little bit, I think it can, yeah. I think this defense, when you're talking about if the offense is what we think it can be, and if it exceeds expectations just a little bit, and I think if that happens, you get some good offensive line continuity, you get good football from your tight ends, specifically Trey Orr, and being able to stretch the field, do some things, back solid, quarterback stays healthy, young receiver step up. It can be a very good offense. I think at that point in time, it's just alignment, assignment, effort. Like, can you get lined up correctly? Can you know your assignment on an every down basis? And then just kind of bring your hard hat, you know, bring the effort, bring the energy, and just fly to the football. I don't think it's going to have to be, hey, where's our one-man wrecking crew up front, or where's our linebacker that can erase our defensive line's mistakes, you know, and make 17 tackles a game, or where's our lockdown corner that has to have two picks a game for us to be successful, or our pass rusher that has 2.5 sacks a game. I think collectively it can be okay if the offense is scoring. You know, part of the problem we have right now in this league is that we have this preconceived notion of every team that's going to be good and bad. Is Georgia going to be really good? Yeah. Is Ole Miss going to be really good? Yes. Bama's going to be good. Okay. Like, I'm fine with that. I think Texas can be really good. I don't think we really know what A&M is going to be. I don't think we know what Arkansas is going to be. I think Tennessee has a chance, but hell, they lost a lot. Could Auburn take a step? I don't know. Hell, Brian, people think Florida is going to win 3 or 4 games. Like, I don't think that that's feasible, to be honest with you. Florida's too good at quarterback, and that scheme is too good. Their coaching staff is too good to win 3 or 4 games. So some of it will depend on what happens to the rest of the schedule. Can Missouri be what they were last year again? That defense was really good. I think their offense will be really good this year. I don't know about their defense. What I do know is they have a chance to stack some wins early. I think Arizona State is almost a must-win game. And if they stay healthy down the stretch, I think they have a chance to pick a few up and potentially be bowl eligible.
Coleman Hutzler is kind of an unknown to Mississippi State fans. He's only done a couple of interviews. You know, he doesn't have a track record that people can go back and point to. When you got a chance to talk to him, you know, what are your thoughts on him, and what do you think the identity of his style of defense is going to be?
I think just playing hard, playing fast. I think he understands that things can be overcomplicated. He coached under Nick Saban. He coached under Kevin Steele. You know, he's been around Will Muschamp. He understands that sometimes it can get lengthy. One of the things that he told us about his defense is trying to find ways to marry up verbiage. And I thought it was brilliant, to be honest with you, because I've been around some of these coaches that just, they want an answer for everything. They want the ability, they want a check and a call for every single movement and every formation and every motion and every shift and trade. And it's just, that's not real. It's just not going to be something that's going to happen. I think you'll see a blend of a 4-2-5 and a 3-4. I know Lebby wants them to be a little bit different on a weekly basis if they can, if the personnel groupings allow it. He doesn't just want to throw the same base defense out on the field each and every week. And I think that comes from Jeff's experience coaching in the league, of understanding that, hey, this wasn't what we saw last week. We're going to have to make some adjustments, and that can be difficult to deal with. So I think he has an understanding of what it has to look like, what it needs to look like. I think they'll still search in the portal for a guy or two at each level of that defense. Specifically, they need some depth in a bad way at certain spots, but they got enough up front to be dangerous. And you know, they need some individuals to probably exceed what their expectations are to be a good defense. But if the secondary comes around, I don't think that they'll be a bad defense or a defense that just can't get stops. Specifically, if you're scoring points, I mean, you put teams and offenses in a certain situation that becomes your advantage. And if they can find – if the offense can consistently do that, it helps the defense in different ways.
All right. You're giving us a lot of great takeaways today, and I know you're not a hot take guy, but I want you to give me a big overreaction from what you saw on Saturday.
Just from the Mississippi State spring game?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't feel like – I mean, I probably overreacted to Jimmy Bell a little bit just because I don't see 6'10", 320 very often. And I'm kind of like rooting for him. I'm kind of hoping that he can find a way to get some reps and some snaps. And I don't know, when I hear Levy talk about how much the kid wants to do it, and I hear Cody Kennedy talking about how willing he is and like he wants to make it work, and this is not, you know, some weird experiment because he didn't have anything to do and he ran out of basketball eligibility or something. And then when I saw him on the field, he didn't look disproportioned. Which means he doesn't look 6'10". So, you know, he looks like 6'8", 6'7", because he's kind of well-proportioned. And I don't know, he's like fun to look at and fun to imagine being a good football player. So maybe I overreacted to him just a little bit, but I think everything else, we were fairly in line on. I didn't hear people going, you know, too crazy about certain guys or certain things. I thought Blake looked really good. I thought some of the young receivers, like Mario Craver, I kind of expected him to do some of the things he did based on what those coaches were telling me. I mean, I've heard really good things about him in the spring. I had two of Kelly Akari's games last year, so I kind of knew what he was about. I knew what he could do. The offensive line, they looked good. I don't think there was any overreaction there. They had a pretty good day. So I think all in all, it was about what I saw. I don't know exactly what I expected, how different, you know, plus or minus it would be, but I didn't feel like there was a great overreaction in anything.
I agree. I agree with you. Cole Kublik, the SEC Network, Mac and Cube, ESPN, UFL. How's that going for you?
It's good. It's going good. I'm a lot of fun with it. Obviously, you know, a little bit different being able to get the access to guys that we have during the games. Yeah. But, hey, man, it's live tackle football in the spring. You can't beat that.
You cannot. Thanks, man. I appreciate your time.
Anytime, Brian.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.